From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns brings the final portion of a message called The Meaning of Pentecost, part of this series of studies in the Book of Acts. Before Dr. Cairns comes, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection known as Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled Pardon and Forgiveness. The text is found in Psalm 103, verse 9. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He will chide sometimes, or he would not be a wise father for such poor, erring children as we are. His chiding is very painful to those who are true, because they feel how sadly they deserve it, and how wrong it is on their part to grieve him. We know what this chiding means, and we bow before the Lord, mourning that we should cause him to be angry with us. But what a comfort we find in these lines, not always will he chide. If we repent and turn to him with hearts broken for sin and broken from sin, he will smile upon us at once. It is no pleasure to him to turn a frowning face toward those whom he loves with all his heart. It is his joy that our joy should be full. Come, let us seek his face. There is no reason for despair, nor even for despondency. Let us love a chiding God. Before long we shall sing, Thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Begone, ye dark forebodings, ye ravens of the soul. Come in, ye humble hopes and grateful memories, ye doves of the heart. He who pardoned us long ago as a judge will again forgive us as a father, and we shall rejoice in his sweet, unchanging love.
I am amazed that God could ever love me.
Eternal life he gave me.
At this season of the year, the thoughts of God's people turn with special emphasis to the miracle of the Incarnation, the incomprehensible truth of Emmanuel, God with us. The Apostle John wrote, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Prior to the birth of the Lord Jesus, Joseph was told, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." To assist you in meditating upon the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into the world, we're happy to offer a unique publication called The 12 Days of Christmas. Written by Roger Ellsworth, an experienced minister and writer, The 12 Days of Christmas is a small paperback book containing 24 devotions, each including a short scripture reading, several paragraphs, and a concluding To Think About section that draws lines of application from the text to modern-day life. The book is intended to help the hearts and minds of believers to focus on the wonder of the Incarnation, as well as to encourage unbelievers to come in repentance and faith to Christ. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make this inspirational booklet available free of charge to our listening audience. You may have a copy simply by contacting us by phone, email, or regular mail. You may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or if you wish, you may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We encourage you to request your free copy of The 12 Days of Christmas while supplies last. Today, Dr. Cairns concludes a message entitled The Meaning of Pentecost, which is revealed in Peter's words found in verses 12 through 21 of chapter 2. Peter reminded the gathered multitude that what they were witnessing was the fulfillment of the prophecy of Joel chapter 2, where God promised that in the last days he would pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. The outpouring of the Spirit was, first of all, supernatural, for only Almighty God could do it. Furthermore, the workings of the Holy Spirit are always scriptural. Spiritual experience must always be tested by what the Word of God says, for the Spirit never works contrary to the Word. The scope of the outpouring upon all flesh has given rise to the great missionary endeavors throughout the world. God uses all classes and types of people to proclaim the Spirit's message, the Word of salvation. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit is always marked by true gospel preaching and the salvation of souls. Now to conclude the meaning of Pentecost, here is Dr. Cairns.
The great Congo revival did not come through the missionaries. Now, I'm not saying that it was a missionary who said that. The great Congo revival did not come through the missionaries. It came through the converts. That always encourages me. This is that. God still moves in this day and age through a people who know how to pray. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And we go on to read what Joel said in the Old Testament scriptures. Now, there's a great doctrinal and theological significance in that, which I'm not going to have time to pursue at much length. But the Jews had not had any written revelation for 400 years. In fact, I have no doubt that the Jews had taken it that there was only one thing left, and that was the appearance of the forerunner of Messiah and then Messiah himself. Of course, when that had happened, they had been blind to it. And they had thought that they were still waiting, as they are still waiting today. But this quotation from Joel proves that there is a fuller revelation to follow the Old Testament. This quotation from Joel proves that God again is to send the spirit of inspiration and of prophecy upon his people. This quotation is saying that whereas the Holy Spirit came in drops in the Old Testament, there was to follow another period when he would be poured forth in fullness. And of course, that is exactly what happened in the early church. And these New Testament scriptures are the fullness of God's revelation, which he promised in the Old Testament scriptures. Now, I don't believe that the inspiration which is here spoken of should be known by every Christian. Can't be. I don't think the inspiration which is here spoken of will be known in every generation. But I do believe what John wrote in Revelation 19, that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. I do believe that the testimony that these people raised in the day of Pentecost and in the subsequent days when God inspired his people to write these scriptures, I do believe that that testimony is to be maintained intact until that great and notable day of the Lord come. I want you to notice particularly that this next event, as far as God is concerned, is the great and notable day of the Lord. And between Pentecost and that, there is one thing to be done, and that is the scriptural fulfillment of the prophecy of Joel. Now, as to its substance, we read that this is a great spirit effusion, the outpouring of the Spirit. There are two verses, verse 17 and verse 18, where we have the words, pour out my spirit, or pour out of my spirit. That is what Pentecost really was. We read in chapter 1 the promise of the Lord Jesus that ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. You remember when we were talking about that? We saw it as a mighty, overwhelming demonstration of the Spirit in power. Now this is what the meaning of Pentecost really is. There are so many things about this day that people argue about and people debate about. In fact, every commentary you lift has its own particular little theory. And sometimes you wonder if the commentators ever bothered their heads to start off by reading the Bible before they wrote what they did write. It'd be a good thing if they would go to the scriptures first and give us their commentary afterwards. So much confusion in this. But look underneath it all. There's one thing that no one can gainsay. This was the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Now, I want you to notice the terms in which it's couched. The scope of this was, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. The scope of it. I believe that here you have a great missionary charter. I believe that the Lord is saying here that Pentecost was just a beginning. That this is not something now restricted to the Jewish people. This is not simply for the seed of Abraham after the flesh, but this is something that is going to break national boundaries. And, of course, it's going to fulfill the great charter of chapter 1 and verse 8, when it will be a witness first in Jerusalem, then in Judea, then in Samaria, then to the uttermost parts of the earth. God says, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. The scope of it. My friend, that is something for us. Wherever we go, preaching the Word of God, what do we need? We need the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. This church in Greenville, seeking to stand for God, seeking to be a witness for Christ, seeking to raise an evangelistic testimony, seeking to tell men the way of eternal life. What do we need? Doctrinal orthodoxy? Certainly. Let's have all the orthodoxy of which we're capable by the grace of God. What do we need? Zeal. Yes, Lord, give us zeal. What do we need? Learning. God teaches all that He can teach. But after we've said all that we have and all that we ought to have, one thing is yet necessary, and that is the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. You think of it. Without the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, what do we have? What do we have? Well, you have a prayerless church. You have a carnal church, living after the flesh. Without the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, you have a deadened church which cares nothing much for the souls of men and women. Without the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, I believe that you have a church that is not in touch with divine and eternal realities. It's living in make-believe land. But oh, give us the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And what do you have? First of all, you have a people who can pray. You have a people who have that spirit of anointing upon them to pray and seek God's face. You have a people who can weep when they seek God's face. You have a people who can say, as we read on Friday night of Jeremiah, mine eye affecteth my heart. You have a people who are broken for the souls of men and women. You have a people who are spiritual. You have a people who are in touch with reality. You have a people who are living for eternity. Once we lose the outpouring of the Spirit, our gospel meetings produce nothing but hardness. Sinners can sit and they'll never be moved. They may make decisions, but they'll go to hell with their decisions. Decisions never saved anybody. If the Holy Spirit's not there, there'll be no salvation. And if we don't have the outpouring of the Spirit on our ministry and on our preaching, what do we have? We have gospel services without power. We have sinners sitting hardened in their sins, mocking the gospel like the people we were reading of a little moment ago. But oh, give us the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and what do you have? You have men convicted. You have men made to tremble. You have men brought face to face with eternity. You've hardened hearts crushed. You've darkened minds illuminated. You've dead souls regenerated. You've unsaved souls saved. That's the power of the Holy Ghost. All the scope is to all flesh. You'll notice the servants he uses, and this is an encouragement to us. He says, my sons, my daughters, your young men and your old men, the servants and handmaids. I don't think that leaves any of us out, does it? Those are the people that the Lord uses. You'll notice he doesn't say one thing about our academic attainments. We may have them, we may not have them. Doesn't say one thing about our ability to speak well. We may have that ability, we may not have it. But he does say that they are just sons and daughters, young and old, servants and handmaids, ordinary people who have come into saving relationship with Jesus Christ and who have been filled with God the Holy Spirit. God can use ordinary people. God can use you. I believe that one thing seems to get lost among the rank and file of God's people, and it is the necessity and indeed the possibility for every individual Christian to have an infilling of the Spirit of God. This is not something for preachers, although the preacher needs to be filled with the Holy Spirit. This is not something for people in public office. They do need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. This is something for every Christian who would seek to serve God. Oh, may God fill us with His Spirit. Then you'll notice the span of time here. I believe it's for all time. You see, if you read very carefully, Verse 17, it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Now, most people take the last days to mean just the last few years before the Lord Jesus Christ comes back again. Of course, that's totally unscriptural. The last days in Scripture is a definition and a description of the entire period from the ascension of Jesus Christ, the coming of His Spirit, until the day that's called here that great and notable day of the Lord, when the Lord Jesus comes back again. In there, we have the last days. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophet, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. The time past, the Old Testament time, contrasts with the last days, the New Testament time. Now God says, in these last days, I'll pour out my Spirit. In other words, we can expect the power of the Holy Spirit to be poured out in that period, right up until the notable day. Expect things to get worse and worse. But in those worsening days, there will be a people who can have the infilling and the power and the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. God has said He'll do it in the last days. And there is not one part of those last days that I have ever read of in Scripture which God says He will not pour out His Spirit. It's very interesting that immediately after speaking of the prophesying and the preaching of these people, He says that verse 19, I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath. And what are they? Verse 20 tells you the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood. And when is that to happen? Matthew 24, 29 will tell you. That is to happen immediately after the tribulation of those days. That is to happen immediately before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the very end of the great tribulation period. And this is the beginning of the notable day of the Lord. So right up until the Lord in all His majesty and glory comes back again, God says, I'll be pouring out my Spirit. I, the devil, will be working. But God will be working. I, the powers of hell, will be rampant. Demonism will be in every hand. Witchcraft will have a rebirth. And false religion will seek to spread itself across the earth. Every saint of God will be persecuted. Yes, we know all those things. Things will get worse and worse. But God says, I'll pour out my Spirit. I believe in a victorious church. I believe in a Spirit-filled people. And I tell you, whatever the opposition, we have a right to go to our God and say, Lord, You have promised to fill us with Your Spirit, and I'm asking You now to pour out the Holy Ghost upon us. What's the meaning of Pentecost? Its meaning is this. As to its substance, it's a Spirit effusion, an outpouring of the Holy Ghost to all flesh, upon all kinds of people who are yielded to the Lord and available throughout all time until our Lord ushers in that great and notable day of the Lord. And then finally, this is most important, as to its message, it's the word of salvation. Verse 21, it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit is always accompanied by, first, the preaching of the gospel, and second, the power of that preaching in saving souls. And you can always judge a so-called revival or a so-called movement of the Spirit. You can judge anything that purports to be a spiritual outpouring by this. Does it first of all exalt the gospel of grace in Christ? Is there the preaching of the essentials of the gospel? If there's not, it's not an outpouring of the Spirit. Does it preach salvation by grace alone, through faith alone in Jesus Christ? If it doesn't, it is not the work of the Spirit. Has it power to bring sinners to Christ? And that's the final touchstone. The power to bring sinners to Christ. And I tell you honestly, that which does not yield that power to bring sinners to Christ has no claim to be a mighty outpouring of the Spirit of God. As we read on in Acts chapter 2, we find that very power in operation. And on that first day of gospel preaching, 3,000 souls were saved. My, what an ushering in of this era that was. That's the meaning of Pentecost. Now let's not fall short of what God has for us. Let's not be satisfied with less than the outpouring of the Spirit of God. Let's not fool ourselves that there is no such outpouring possible to us because the times are evil. My friend, the only evil that can hinder me from knowing the fullness of the Holy Spirit is the evil in this heart. Oh, let's realize that there is an outpouring of God promised to His people, all His people, of whatever caliber, whatever kind, throughout all time until the great and notable day of the Lord.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.